And so tonight I just wanted to, I don't know if it's going to be a preach or not. I'm not quite sure what you're going to call it, but I just wanted to share some thoughts of some of the things that I was processing while I was on leave now. And I did a lot of reading and I did a lot of heart searching and all those kind of things. So I wanted to just kind of bring you up to speed of where I'm at with what I feel the Lord's saying for me. And hopefully it's relevant to you and it's not only for me, if that makes any sense. And so, as you guys know, I really do love the Holy Spirit. I love the way He works and how He moves. I love the fact that every single one of us has the Holy Spirit living in us. If we are believers of Jesus Christ, if we have given our lives to Him, if we're born again, and if we surrendered our lives to Him, the Holy Spirit lives in us. We know the Bible says that, that we become the temple of the Holy Spirit. But as I was thinking about the gifts of the Spirit and how God works and how the Holy Spirit works in us, and he's so many things. He's a counselor, He's a guide, He's power that lives in us. Something just kind of fell in my heart in the sense of how far is too far when it comes to the Holy Spirit? And how far is too far when we trying to do it on at our own strength? And so what I want to speak about tonight is the finding the tension between being full of the Holy Spirit, living out your gifts, and the fruit of the Spirit that is in every believer. And so I think if without fruit, it's very dangerous to operate in gifts, if that makes sense. I'm going to try and marry those two things together. And so let's get into it. So I don't know who... I'm not going to give many scriptures. I want actually wanting you to write these things down and go find them for yourself. So if you've got a Bible out or a pen or a paper, or if you can remember, if you would get your phone, I want you to go look at two scriptures this week. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 to 11, which deals with the gifts of the Spirit. Most of the gifts are in that passage. There are others in Ephesians and Romans and stuff, but to go focus on that. And then to go look at Galatians 5, verses 22 to 33. And Galatians 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And so I'd love you to write those down. Go meditate on them. That's a different type of meditation. Meditation means read them over and over and over again. Ask God, what are you trying to teach me through these scriptures? Get them into your heart. And I think as Christians, we glance over the scriptures too quickly. We try to take too much at a time and we don't actually go deep. We don't grow in the Lord, okay? And so if you can go and read those two scriptures, because most of what I'm going to say is coming out of them. So, who's seen The Guardians of the Galaxy? The movie Guardians of the Galaxy. Okay, quite a few of us. It's like a superhero movie and there's some really interesting characters. There's a little, I am Groot, which is this root. I don't actually know what he is, but all he says is, I am Groot, and he looks like a root. But they know what he's saying. So when they ask him something, I am Groot, oh yeah, but no one else knows what he's saying, you know. And so often, we live our lives like I am Groot. When the Lord says, hey, please will you step out of your comfort zone, I am Groot. And what I felt the Lord saying to me was, it's no longer I am Groot, it's He is Root. Ah, see, I'm a poet and I don't even know it. And so often, as I look at churches and as I travel, there's a lot of I. And I was thinking about Guardians of the Galaxy. It's actually a really funny movie, the first one. I didn't enjoy the second one, but the first one was really funny. Good music from the 80s, if you've grown up in the 80s. There's good head styles, there's some crazy things. But what I felt the Lord saying to me was, Brett, it's not about your gift that I've given you. It's about me being the root in your heart. And without the root, there is no fruit. Thanks, Mom. I heard that. Amen over there. And so tonight, I'm calling my sermon, He is Root. And the question that we need to ask ourselves is Jesus the root of everything that flows from within us? Or can we do it on our own ability? And so there's two extremes to this that the Lord was saying to me. There's overconfidence or no confidence. And somewhere in between, we find the Lord. I tend to be overconfident most of the time. I always say to Abby, I'm naturally gifted at most things that I do. So it's very hard for me not to be not confident. I'm just being honest with you. And Abby just goes, oh my goodness. And so for me, I felt the Lord saying, you've been overconfident. I think there are gifts that God has given me that I could just do naturally, possibly even without him, and still get away with it, which is a very dangerous thing. And I know that there are many of us in this congregation that have the same flaw, or what the better word than flaw, weakness. But then there are others that are, there's no, you have no confidence in your own ability. And that can also be a very bad thing. Because there's no confidence in, you'll never step out and you'll never do something. If you're overconfident, you could actually be doing something in the Lord, but it's not in the Lord. And I was getting a little bit freaked out because I'm like, oh, am I maybe too overconfident most of the time that naturally the gifts that God has given me, I'm just doing it, but he's not with me in it. And that would be a very serious and dangerous thing. If that makes any sense. So where do you fit in? Are you overconfident? Are the gifts that God has given you, you become so used to them and you've worked so hard in them that they just possibly outflow without the Lord there? Or are you underconfident with no confidence and just, it's the same thing at the end of the day? You become ineffective for the Lord. You guys are very quiet. Wonderful. So think about the two extremes through parables. Parables were stories told by Jesus to people, the disciples and those who are listening. And they were always a little bit, they weren't very forthright. If you go read the parables, often afterwards the disciples will come going, "What, Jesus, what were you saying?" And when they asked, he would explain them. But the other people would leave and not know what Jesus was speaking about, which is quite an interesting thing about parables. I think Jesus used parables, and I believe he used parables, to get people to think. So you throw out biblical principles, kingdom principles, truths. I'm going to trip over Bethy's stuff here. And he would throw it out there, and the people that really were listening, the people that were not overconfident and not underconfident, the people in the middle that really hungered God and wanted him to work in them, they would go and say, "God, what are you saying, Jesus?" And so let's look at a couple parables on being overconfident and underconfident. The one that came to mind was in Luke 15. Write that down. I think it's from verse 11. You can go read it. Talking about the prodigal son. It shouldn't actually be called the prodigal son because it's not really about the prodigal son. It's about a father with two sons. And the one was overconfident and so confident that he came to his father, took all his inheritance and went and squandered it. And he ended up in a pigsty. The other son was underconfident in a sense and he just did what he thought the father wanted him to do day in and day out, day in. But the thing about the story is very interesting. Both sons didn't want the father. They wanted the father's things. They both had the same heart, if you go read it there. And the only difference between them was the one son came to his senses, the Bible says. I'm in a pigsty. He's a Jew in a pigsty, eating what? That was quite offensive to the Jews, if you think about it. And he said, "I got to go back to my father. I got to get the heart of the father." And he comes back and he says, "Even if I'm a hired servant, it'll be better than what I have now." And the father has a party for them, gives him a ring, gives him some shoes, gives him, and he says, "Come." And he kills a fatted calf and he just has this massive party. Because the overconfident son, in his own ability and his own wants and wanting what the father had, except for and not wanting what the father was, comes back to line up with the father's heart. Yet the older son, who was faithful and worked hard and, in a sense, didn't overstep his boundaries, he was actually the one that was lost. Because he also wanted the father's things and not the father. And when the father gave grace to the one that was overconfident, he couldn't handle it and actually ended badly for him. It's quite a thing that it's like these two sons, they had the same heart. And I was sitting there reading some books and asking the Lord, what is he doing in me? And have I gone too far? Am I over too confident? Or am I not confident enough sometimes? And he's actually just saying, "Brett, it's about my heart for you. It's about me. It's not about the gift. It's about me." And I want to throw that back at you. Is your life driven by what God wants for you? And it's a good question to ask. Or is it about people seeing you or doing great things or preaching or worshiping, whatever it is? or prophesying? Is it about that thing, or is it about what the Father wants for you? Because I could prophesy until I'm blue in the face and probably do it well, but if God's not in there, I'm not going to have any credibility behind those prophecies, if you think about it. The other scripture that I want to bring to our mind was the one about the talents, and we all know it very well, so I'm just going to glance over it, where God gave certain amounts of things to certain people. And it's beautiful. In Romans, Paul writes, the gifts have been given to each one according to the grace that God has put upon those people. It's a beautiful thing. So think about it. Your gift has been given because God has grace on you for that gift. And your gift has been given because God has given grace for that gift. And my gift has been given because God has grace for me for that gift. And Bruce's gift. And I can go, Jody's gift. And those gifts are no greater or no smaller than anyone else's gift. But it's the grace that God has put on that person for that time. That's a beautiful thing. And so God has given every single one of us here, whether you believe it or not, a gift. At least one. At least one. And the story goes that one was given 5 and one was given 10 or 2 or whatever it was. And 2 of the guys went and multiplied those gifts. And they had the father's heart in mind. And when the father came back, or the master came back, thank you, he said, well done, good and faithful. But the one who hid his gifts, the one who dug a hole and put it in there because he was too scared to use it, the master said, actually, away from me, evildoer, and cast him into the abyss. And I was, yo, so I'm confused. I'm sitting there going, yo, you could be overconfident, you can be underconfident. There's this, how do we find a balance? And I think that's what the Lord wants to drop in our hearts tonight. If you're not living for the Lord and not using your gifts, please start now. If you are using your gifts, please don't become overconfident in them, because it's just God's grace in your life. And don't make it about the gift. Make it about God in the gift, if that makes any sense. Because gifts can be instant, but developing fruit takes time. And the scary thing about this is, when you become a believer of Jesus Christ, you've already got gifts in you that God brings out. So they're instant. The problem with a gift is, if I'm walking with the Lord, which I think I am, as much as I can right now, and I'm faithful with what he's given, and I'm really, my heart is after him, and I'm, it'll go well with me. But if I step away from the Lord and do my own thing and become miff in my heart and fall into sin, that gift continues to move. See, the gifts are irrevocable. What that means is the gifts can't be taken away. Once they're given, they're given. It's a very dangerous thing. And that's why you see many Christians, many godly men that are doing so well with the Lord, and they're close to the vine, and they've found that balance. They're not overconfident. They're for God. And they're doing well. And then they start, their hearts get miff, or they get hurt, or they fall into sin, and they get this veil that the Bible speaks about. And they keep on using those gifts just as powerful, but they hurt people. And they break down the kingdom. I see it over and over and over again. I don't want to be that guy. And I don't know about you. Hopefully you don't be that person, you know, that guy or girl. And so fruit takes time to develop. Bethany is really keen to grow things. And Wesley, they've been trying to grow, what were you growing the other day? Butternuts. Butternuts and sweet potatoes, and they're trying to do all these little things to grow. And have we ever seen fruit from a butternut tree that we've grown, Bubsy? No, but we're going to try again. Sprouts. Yeah. And the point I'm trying to make is, man, they've been growing it for many months. And then they do well, and then they die. And then we replant them. And then they grow, and then they die. And then we replant them. Hey, but we're getting there, hey. Because we don't have real soil. And last Sunday, while we were at church, Bethy was having supper with Grandpa. And Grandpa was joking with her because she was eating bean sprouts. And Grandpa said, Bethany, watch out, those bean sprouts are going to grow in your tummy. And Bethy said, they cannot grow in your tummy, Grandpa. So Grandpa says, why? He says, because there's no soil, no water, and no light. Which was very good. So high five me. Yeah. And that's the thing about the gifts. They got to be planted. I mean, the fruit, they've got to be planted, and then they've got to be watered, and then the Holy Spirit's got to shine in them. And basically gifts and fruit. Gifts are straight away. Fruit takes a lifetime. Fruit takes a lifetime to grow. And so I was sitting there going, oh man, I want to be in the presence of the Lord. I want to live for him. Who's watched that program, Shark Tank? Anyone watched the program Shark Tank? Yeah, the billionaires, they get together, the businessmen. Oh, is there Dragon's Den? Okay, so I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's quite a cool program. So what these guys do is they some big businessmen, about four or five of them, and businesswomen, and they've set up this TV program to help struggling businesses. So what the people do is they come in and they pitch their idea. And if these guys think it's going to make money and it's going to do well, they will help them out. They will give them a business plan. They'll even give them money towards that. And the one word that I hear all the time in that TV program, and I've watched every one of them, is if you join with me, you'll have credibility. And I was like, And it happened over and over and over again. And as I'm watching, what I realized was happening was just by those people pitching an idea and then signing with one of those people gives them credibility automatically, even though they failed for the last 10 years in their business, which is quite something. And all of a sudden, overnight, their business has turned around. They've got money coming in. I mean, I think the one, if I can remember correctly now, they were making these horrible Christmas jerseys. You know those ones with the reindeer and stuff on them? You remember those ones? And I'm thinking, there is no way that these guys are going to invest in this business. It's just hideous. It's like these little reindeer. And you know what? One of the guys said, I can see a market for this thing. And overnight, they went from selling $20,000 to $1 million just because of the credibility attached to that businessman. And what I felt the Lord saying to us in the spirit was this, that if we're overconfident, there's no credibility attached to that. If we're underconfident in the Lord, there's no credibility attached to that. But if we're one with the Lord, if he is the vine and we're the branches and the fruit is being born, there's credibility behind what we do and say and the way we act. Does it make any sense? And I'm sure you've heard this. Like, you've heard a prophecy prophesied and you go, ooh, I don't know if... You know what that is? Probably a lack of credibility. It's a lack of being attached to Jesus. Or if a worship leader gets up and he's worshiping and there's just clang, clang, clang. Maybe it's a lack of credibility. Or a preacher, for instance. Lack of credibility. And I was feeling like the Lord was just saying, just bread, just find me again. Just sit with me. Let me lead you. It's not about the gift. It's about the fruit that I want you to bring forward. That makes sense. So let me start ending off. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get through this whole thing today. So when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, I just overlaid them. So what I did was I took the 1 Corinthians passage, took the Galatians 5, and I just overlapped them. And so let me just throw it out quickly. So who here has words of wisdom or knows what that is? Words of wisdom, wonderful. 2 or 3, 4 of us, 5 of us. So word of wisdom is a supernatural word that discloses the mind, the purpose, and the way of God in people's lives or situations, okay? If we just focus on that, we can get it wrong. We could go be overconfident and just step in the gifting that God has given us, or we can become underconfident and not give the word, right? So what is the fruit that we need to attach to that? If you really want to find God's heart, I believe that we need to ask them for love, and words of wisdom will flow. Does it make sense? Like, one is nodding. Because if you think about it, if the Lord is disclosing supernatural things in people's minds, hearts, the way that God is processing them, love is patient and kind and good. It does not boast. It is not envy. Love is perfect. It never fails. And if we're praying for love, God, give me a love for these people. Give me a love for where they're at, where they are, so they can get closer to you. A word of wisdom will have much more power because of the fruit in that rather than the word itself. And so often we've been focusing on the words, but not the love. Doesn't make any sense. And so can I ask you this? If you operate in the words of wisdom, please continue to operate in them, but please operate them with the God, give me a love. When I give these words, give me a love for these people. Because if you follow Jesus' life through the New Testament, he just loves, and people's lives are impacted. Think about the lady at the well. Shouldn't have even been speaking to her. And he gives her a word of knowledge. And she feels so loved. And she goes and tells everybody. It's a beautiful thing. Amazing. Who has the gift of the word of knowledge, which is slightly different to the word of wisdom? Word of knowledge? A few of us? Two, three of us? Word of knowledge is this. It's a supernatural revelation or information of a specific thing that God is doing or has done in the immediate. It's an amazing thing. And if you think about it, joy, I think, should be the fruit of that gift. Think about that. It's you think about a word of knowledge, it's a revelation, it's information of a specific thing. But joy is something amazing. It's not happiness. It's not determined on circumstance or what we get or what is taken away. Joy is something that the Lord has done in our hearts. It's because he is. And so to give a word of knowledge is to seek joy for that person in the Lord. It's a pretty cool thing. And so if you operate in the words of knowledge and stuff, ask God to give you joy for that person, for them, for the church, for the kingdom. Jesus says to his disciples, I pray that my joy will remain in them and be full. It's a beautiful thing. Here's the gift of faith. Gift of faith, I know my father-in-law does. One, two, you can, don't be shy. I don't want to, okay? So faith is this. The gift of faith is this. It's a special outpouring of supernatural faith that releases in miracles and signs and wonders and other things. And so with faith, well, the gift of faith, shouldn't there be peace that's attached to that? So think about it. Faith can be a big thing. Like you step out in faith, it's a scary thing, right? It's like God says, have faith to heal, to bring someone from the dead. And you're like, whoa, that's a big thing, right? That takes faith. Or to go to someone like earlier and give them an encouraging word. And I think faith is the gift, and the fruit is peace. Peace that transcends all understanding. Peace that, I'm in the favor of the Lord. Peace like, I don't want to come from this place. And so when faith happens and big things happen and people are healed and there's demons fleeing and stuff, there's this peace that comes and peace that fills that void. Who's got the gift of healing? One, two, I want that gift of healing. So that's what I like to pray for people all the time. Gift of healing is what it says. It's been able to be a conduit for God to heal the physical body or the mind. And with the gift of healing, I've realized that patience comes alongside with that. Think about it. I've prayed for thousands of people to be healed for a long time. And it took a very, very long time for God to heal that first person. Are you right, Babs? And I think patience and healing comes hand in hand because we can't do the healing. We can't change the body. We can't heal the mind or the organs. Only God can in his glory. And so if you have the gift of healing and you've been trying and trying and trying and trying and trying and nothing's been happening, could I say this? Maybe God's trying to teach you patience. And so maybe ask God for patience, and I'm telling you now, it'll come. And I think we give up too much, too quickly. And so that's why I like praying for the sick. I like laying on hands, because you never know when the Lord will come in, and hey, he'll reward that patience, and he'll heal and touch and change. Who feels like they have the gift of miracles? Hey, I know my father-in-law Will does, definitely. And miracles is a manifestation of divine power to perform something that could not be done naturally. That's what it means. It's a beautiful thing. And with miracles, I think the kindness of the Lord is connected to that. The fruit of miracles should be the kindness of the Lord on those people. Think about that man who was crippled at birth, and he was sitting there, and Jesus walks up to him and heals him. And everyone's going, I mean, everyone's asking, is he like this because he sinned, or his mom and dad have been sinned? And he says, get up and walk. And that guy's running around, woohoo, jumping around, that the religious leaders of those days are going, what just happened here? Was he faking it? And you can see the kindness of the Lord on those people. Whenever there's a miracle done in the New Testament, there's kindness that follows. These people are like, I have to tell someone about Jesus because it's just so amazing. And so maybe instead of focusing on the gift, maybe we should focus on the fruit, the kindness of the Lord. Lord, how do you want to serve these people? How do you want your kindness to come on them in this miracle? How do you want to change their life? It's just a slight shift in thinking and believing, but God's then doing the work through us rather than we trying to do the work through God. Prophecy, a few of us prophesy. Paul says, long for prophecy amongst all the other gifts. Prophecy is a supernatural disclosure, or the Spirit's inspiring insight, bringing exhortation to the body. And I believe that with prophecy, goodness should follow. I think the fruit of prophecy should be goodness. The goodness of God, the goodness of His kingdom, the goodness of the body of Christ. It's a beautiful thing. How good God is. What He's been doing. And so the Bible talks about when you bring a prophecy, it must be edifying and building up. There are prophets that bring gloom and doom, and I think that is a special prophetic gift in itself. And those are needed in the church to warn and to help us not fall into sin. But generally, prophecy, generally, even brought on a Sunday, should be to edify the body, to build up, and to bring the goodness of God. Sorry? Yeah, even the warning will bring goodness. Doesn't the Bible say the goodness of the Lord, the kindness of the Lord leads to repentance? It's a beautiful scripture, that. And I was sitting there going, so I'm downloading, sorry, I need to get back to what the Lord, I'm downloading, I'm going, maybe I've missed this, Lord. help! Because maybe sometimes I've been focused so much on the gift that I've actually forgot about the root. Sorry, that's my process and just my thinking through these scriptures and through these things. We're almost there. Then there's distinguishing between spirits. Does anyone of us have that? You step into a room and you know, yeah, you definitely have that. And a few others. You step into a room or you speak to someone and you're like, what they're saying isn't what they're saying. You know, you can pick up the spirit. You can pick up what's not right and what is right. So with distinguishing spirits is this, it's to detect the true spirit behind an act of manifestation taking place around us. So think of this. Paul's walking around and they're preaching and there's this girl following them. And they're worshiping the Son of the living God. They, for day on end. Think about it. She's saying the right thing. And eventually Paul's like, had enough. He turns around and he rebukes that spirit. It's actually a demonic spirit following them around. Oh! And the spirit leaves them and they get into a lot of trouble because those people are making money out of her. It's like, what is that? It's a discerning spirit. Or distinguishing between spirits. And I think with this, the fruit has to be faithfulness. Faithfulness. If you are faithful in walking with the Lord, if you are faithful in the Word, if you're faithful in prayer and worship, if you're faithful in finding Him as the vine again and coming back to Him, you'll be able to distinguish the Spirit. If you're far from the Lord and you're far in the world, you're not going to be able to pick it up. And so the fruit to this gift has to be faithfulness. Those that are faithful will be able to see further than those that are unfaithful. Sure. I'm really enjoying this preach. Sorry, I'm getting a little excited. It's all this downloading that I've been going on. And then second to last is tongues. Supernatural tongues. Tongues are either singing or praying or speaking in a supernatural or heavenly language, which is specific message associated to us. And so sometimes we can speak in tongues myself to God. I do that a lot in my quiet times, or when I'm singing a joyful noise and making a joyful noise unto the Lord, like I was cooking supper before I came to church this evening, just so that I don't rush when I get home. And I found myself singing in my tongue. I hope no one was around, because I'm not that good at singing. And or there's a spiritual tongue that we bring sometimes to church. Someone has a tongue that is in a different language. The Bible says if a tongue is brought, it's useful to no one unless it's interpreted. And so normally we'd close that part down, wait for an interpretation. The Bible says if there's no interpretation, then it's not from the Lord. And that person gets rebuked. And I've never rebuked anyone before, because God's always come through, which is amazing. And then you also get tongues that you can sing. Sometimes Trevor actually sings tongues, and we're getting confused sometimes. Sometimes it's not actually a word for the church. It's just him singing between him and the Lord. And then we stop everything and we make it a tongue, and it might not be a tongue. It might be just him singing from his spirit to the Lord's spirit. And so there's different types of tongues in the Bible that we see. And with tongues, normally, I believe the fruit should be gentleness. Gentleness, like when we pray in tongues, it's a gentleness. It's like God, a heavenly language that we can't understand. And as our hearts connect with God's hearts, it's a beautiful thing, actually. And I think the fruit of that should be gentleness. Just waiting on the Lord, not pushing it, not presuming that we know more than we know. And then lastly, interpretation of tongues is a translation of that, that I've just mentioned. And I feel like the fruit of this should be self-control. Because there's a lot of stuff in us. I've actually made this mistake. But I've prophesied what is in the person's heart, not what the Lord wants for them. Often, I've realized, And it takes self-control, that the fruit of the Spirit is self-control, to be able to interpret tongues correctly and powerfully, if that makes sense. And so, that's what I was thinking. That's what I was processing. Like for at least 3 weeks, going, oh, God, help me to find this balance. And I realized again, you know, the balance comes like this. You might be going, how do I do this, Brett? I'm a little bit afraid now. Am I doing it on my own strength? Am I not doing it on my own strength? I think it would be different for every person. But there will be one or two checks that you can do. If you're walking with the Lord daily, I think that's a good check. If you are waking up in the morning going, God, what do you want from my life today? I think you're in a good place. If you have a word or a gift or whatever, and you're not willing to put that down, I think you're in a bad place. If you've come to the front before and you've felt like the word's coming and we don't release that, and you get muff and you hold that against us, I think there's a problem there. Because are you doing it for you, or are you doing it for the body? It's a good point. So I want to end with this. Every one of us at least has one gift here. At least one. But all of us as believers have every single fruit that's written in Galatians 5. All of us need love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. All of those fruits are in us and want to bear fruit in us. And so, the Lord was saying to me, Brett, my fruit overweighs the gift. Focus on the fruit and your gift will flow. And I was like, Phew. And so as we go into the rest of this evening, we're going to break bread just now. As we go into the week, could I ask you, go and read those scriptures. Go read 1 Corinthians over and over and over again. Go read Galatians 5. Find out where you sit with the Lord. And if you are using gifts, please continue to use them, but with the heart of, what is the fruit that's connected to that? Is my life bearing that fruit? Because if it's not, I think we're in danger. If you're not using your gift, please go to your home group leader or come and speak to one of us as leaders here. We would love for you to step into what God has called you to operate in, that your gifting and your fruit will rise up and God will be glorified. So I want to just pray for us, and then we'll just break bread together and fellowship. We've still got quite a lot of time tonight, and we can fellowship, have some tea and coffee, and just enjoy each other's company. Awesome. So, Father, thank you so much for just being here with us, Lord. And, Lord, we are so mindful of those words, well done, good and faithful servant. And I know that every single one of us in this place that really loves you, desires after your kingdom, wants to serve your church in a magnificent way. Lord, really, we do desire to do it, not because we have gifting or that we have a lack of gifting. Lord, we really want to serve you because you are awesome. You are worthy. And so, Father, I pray that even as we go into this week and as we think over these scriptures and as we ask you if we have fruit in our lives, if people are seeing the fruit and not just the gift, Lord, that you will be our root. That we'll be planted in you, Father God. That we'll have credibility because your Spirit and your Son and Lord and you, Father, will be behind the things that we do. And so, Lord, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for what you're already doing. And we want to just say we love you. May you just set our hearts ablaze again tonight, Father, for you and for your ways and for your kingdom. May we stay humble, aim high, and glorify you, God. I'm just feeling like the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you. So I'm just going to give a few moments of just of silence. Like the Holy Spirit wants to just give some direction to people here.